Blog Talk Radio.
So I watched her get sucked in and join what they call the code.
Oops. Hey, welcome back to the True Crimes Podcast. My intro with Catherine Oxenberg began playing again. I have to reset that. Anyways, today we have Roberta Glass back again talking about Nexium, the cult that was run by Keith Raniere and Allison Mack. And on June 12th, they had a bail hearing, and Roberta was there in attendance, and she's going to tell us all about it. Hi, Roberta. How are you doing today?
Very well. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, thanks for being here.
So
where should we start?
I did go to the bail hearing. So before I went, there had been a bit of a back and forth between Raniere's lawyers and the state with a bail, with his bail application. So what he was presenting was the idea that he would give $10 million in a trust, and the source of that trust being undisclosed. And he himself says that he has no money, except the only thing he owns is half of a house. So it was kind of unusual to offer $10 million while saying you have no money yourself from this mysterious trust, and armed guards to guard him to make sure he didn't flee. So that's what they were offering. So then the state answered back, and that's when I came into the picture, detailing, some of his text messages and the fact that he had fled to Mexico before this, and that he was definitely a flee risk, and that he had followers with unlimited money that would definitely help him flee and hide if he were given the chance. So I went there hoping he wouldn't get the bail. But what I didn't realize, I don't know why, as closely as I follow this case, was that Allison Mack is his co-defendant in this case. So she had come in from California. So as I'm sitting down, I get ushered in with a bunch of legal interns, and there's this big, nice, cushy spot in the front row that nobody wants to sit in. And I'm like, oh, that's fantastic. I get a front row seat. I'm not shy. I guess everyone's feeling shy. And as soon as I sit down, I look up, and I recognize the jean jacket, but then I just see this kind of gray figure. And I realized, oh, my gosh, that's Allison Mack, looking extremely old, extremely gaunt and gray, and had her arms wrapped around herself. I'm very thin, and had her arms wrapped around herself. I was like, oh, gosh, of course she's going to be here for this. So I was really close with Allison Mack, and it's not like how you see in TV with the court divided, like if you see a courtroom in a TV show where the sides are facing the judge, and instead the sides face each other. So, and the judge is in the middle facing the audience. So I was on Allison, I was getting a profile view of Allison Mack and her lawyer team, and then at the head of that table, Keith Raniere was ushered in. I couldn't see his feet, but by his shuffle, it looked like his feet were chained. His arms were definitely chained, and he was brought in by guards. So he was furthest away from me, closest to the judge, brought in on the side door.
Okay, and how did they look? Describe how Keith Raniere and Allison Mack looked when you saw them, with how they struck you.
Okay. Well, at first, I thought she was much, this will seem so odd, but because her skin is so gray, it actually, for a second, made her hair look gray. Like, her hair is not, it's sort of dusty brown, so it sort of took on a gray tint for a second, and her eyes are deeply sunk in her face, and her nose is very prominent. I mean, to be honest, she doesn't come off as glamorous. She doesn't have, at that time, to me, she didn't seem to have any kind of charisma. I wouldn't have noticed her had I not been following the case. but she looks odd and she looks disturbed and brainwashed and a little crazy. Like, it made more sense to me seeing her in person. Like, she's not the Allison Mack of the videos you see with the really blonde hair and the smiling and the kind of luminescent, a little bit of a luminescent skin. This is a gray, withdrawn, gaunt, kind of detached
person. The shadow of herself,
person.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, detached
okay.
person. She's not putting on airs of theatricality. Not that she should, being in court. But no emotions are coming to the surface that you can see. And there was one very odd moment where she was staring in front of her, directly in front of her, towards the courtroom artist. And that was the only time I saw her make eye contact with anyone. And for a couple minutes, she stared directly at the court artist as if she were trying to hypnotize her. You know, that kind of really intense, focused stare. Maybe she was thinking about something else. I don't know. But I wondered, at that time, I asked myself the question, if she is still using the kind of cult techniques, if she believes in the law of attraction, if she thinks she can change some of this outcome of this court case with her mind.
Well,
and
actually,
how
I
it's
thought
written
about it.
About.
Have you seen the drawings of her from court that the artist has done? Because they're pretty funny looking.
Yeah, they're really unflattering.
Yeah, yeah.
So you think she was throwing
it.
Her daggers?
Yeah. I think she might have been.
I mean, it was extended daggers. It was
maybe,
two women court
know.
Artists. And it was just extended. It was the only time, she talked maybe for a sentence or two to her lawyer, but, like, it was a kind of nuisance to be there for her. Honestly, it wasn't mm-hmm. really about her in that sense, but it made me, and also it came up, and I will get to Keith Raniere, but also it came up at one point whether she had approached the state. The state was said, at one point, well, we're still waiting for Ms. Mack to approach us about the plea deal. And her lawyer said, yes, we intend to do that. Yes, that is our intention. And I thought, well, this has been you've had a long period. You're facing a heavy jail sentence. I would be, like I said to you earlier, I would be there so fast to the state offering them anything with all the jail time that she's facing. And
yeah.
if I had realized all the horrible stuff I had done and the awfulness I had caused, I would be begging for forgiveness and to work something out. But who knows? I just had the feeling that she seems still very much brainwashed. And the reports that Steve Hansen, who's a cult expert, who I've read has been hired by her parents to deprogram her, was failing, that made sense to me. It does not seem like she is deprogrammed. And Keith Raniere, what I wrote in my notes, as if I needed to write this down, I wrote, creepy homeless guy. That's what I wrote in my notes about him. That's what he looked like, a creepy homeless guy.
Wow.
Disheveled. You could get that he was a little bit charismatic, like a little bit effeminate, Charles Manson type, but you could definitely, if those two, the way I saw them in court, were pulled out and they said to me, these two people are charged with running a cult, I would say, did you pull them out of central casting? Those look like exactly the type of people that you would think of running a new age cult. Exactly.
Wow.
Like,
so neither of them
only
looks
the
like
presentation
they did on videos,
that we
huh?
see that's so different. I'm sorry?
Yeah, so they don't look anything like they do in the videos then. No, that's fine. They don't look anything like they do in the videos on YouTube then when they're talking to each other and,
Not at all. I mean, she looks, I wrote in my notes, much more a mental patient than a movie star. Not that she's a movie star, more like a TV star, but, and he looks like a dangerous cult leader. And I also drew a little drawing of someone with a pinwheel eye. These are my impressions. I didn't expect to see these things. I think it would have been more interesting to have you know, the impression like, wow, these are really polished people that you never expect, you know. That's certainly the take
right.
in the media. Like, we can't believe she's involved in all this. But when you see her in person, you're like, this is absolutely someone who would run a cult. She looks sick. She looks mentally ill. She looks not connected, not empathetic, not
So what was she
emotionally.
Doing the entire time, during the entire trial? Was she staring at him? Were they looking at each other? Or
never.
Was she...
Never looks at him. I mean, granted, you know, people make a lot of that, her not making eye contact, because, like I said, it's on, you have to imagine that it's all done in the profile, you know? So she would have to look at him, she would have to turn her head all the way to the right, kind of like lean over, but she never does that. But you would think if it was such the love of her life, someone she's willing to break the law for, that she would want to take a look. Not at all.
Well, how about when he was
him.
Leaving? Did you notice? Because somebody wrote, I wrote in Radar Online, they said that she was intensely watching him when he walked away, when they brought him back to his cell. Did you notice that or no?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I couldn't see what she was looking at, because I saw her facing the judge, because we all did stand up and face the, you know, judge, and he was ushered out. I can't
okay.
see what she was looking at. That's sort of the disadvantage of being right in front of her, is you don't get the side view from the other side, you know, of
oh,
what,
so
what
that was the back
at,
seat then, okay.
You know?
I see.
Yeah,
okay.
In some ways it's
okay.
the back seat. I got a lot of what she was doing, you know, with her lawyer, what she was, you know, I could see, you know, where she was looking, but to see, did I see her head move watching him walk out? No.
Okay.
It's very odd. And there was no reaction when he was, I was looking at her when he was brought in, too, to see, you know, no reaction. Very odd.
Okay.
I mean, all of it's, I mean, you're still trying to kind of puzzle it out. How does she feel about him now? I know she's not legally allowed to contact him. Does she, and I thought she was wearing a kind of a bracelet. These are things you think about. Like, does the bracelet mean anything to him? Does the way she wear it? I mean, those would be the ways that you could communicate to someone in court if you can't talk or write to them, would be in what you wear, right? And how you
right,
look
yeah.
at them.
Right.
You
right,
know, I were,
yeah.
So I was looking at what she wore. I thought about if any of those things that she wore. Her hair is still extremely long, so it's so long that she's using her hair to tie up her own hair as part of the, so she put her hair in a ponytail, then she wrapped strands of her own hair around her hair and looked in this kind of complicated fashion. Very pretty, I have to say, but it's extremely long, and that was one of his rules for his women, was that they couldn't cut any of their hair, and the fact that she still hasn't cut their hair should be concerning.
Now, how about Catherine Oxenberg, right? You saw her there as well. Who else? What was she doing?
I just
doing?
Saw
what
her
she
on the
doing?
Way out. She was beautiful, and I was very impressed that she was there. There was a lot of people there around Frank Perlato that I assumed had connections with victims of NXIVM. And there was a whole bunch of people who are watching his every move in court. And are very pleased that he did not get bail.
Yeah. Cause, so apparently, what was the judge's demeanor towards them, did you think?
This was very interesting, too. I like the judge a lot. Sandy, I don't know what I'm using to like or dislike the judge, but he seemed, his questions were interesting. And if you listen to my video, I think the most interesting part was when Keith Raniere's lawyer started to make his argument for the bail and started to describe the armed guards. And the judge started asking questions about these armed guards, and the best way I can put it is it was like a 10 or 11-year-old boy explaining to his dad the plot line of a science fiction story he wrote. So, and the dad asking questions like, well, are these aliens men or women or both? And you know what I mean? Like the details and how all this stuff worked, because it seems so otherworldly and crazy. When you started, he's like, you're talking about, the judge is saying to him, you're talking about live ammunition being placed in a guy's hand, and can he actually shoot, and what's the purpose? Is the purpose to keep guys, to keep urinary in, or the press out? And then the judge said, well, to answer one of the Keith Raniere's lawyer's statements, well, then you're going to need karate experts, too. And the whole room just burst out into laughter. So he knew then it wasn't going to go very well. When
wow.
the whole courtroom is laughing at your bail application. And you, so as far as the judge, to get back, sorry, I took a little turn about the judge. The judge said at one point, everything I know about this case is from reading the New York Times Magazine article.
Now, do you think he
was
joking when he said that?
As we all know, a love letter to NXIVM.
I think he meant that, though, or was he joking? Do you think he meant that, or do you think he was joking, maybe? The judge.
No, because he said it several times, and then he added in, like, one other newspaper at one point. So,
okay.
No, I don't think he was going to. I mean, I think he said it kind of, you know, maybe with a little bit of, I can't say sarcasm, but I don't know what the word to describe it was. But he says it's going to be an interesting case. I think it is. I think he's looking forward to overseeing it. But
hopefully he watches YouTube videos.
I was concerned.
Podcast.
As someone who wonders when someone writes something like that, like such a love letter and the effect. I mean, that piece was written so that this wouldn't happen, so Keith Raniere wouldn't get it. It was a whole orchestrated kind of like PR event that Claire Bronfman orchestrated, from what I've read about it, this New York Times Magazine article, so that Keith Raniere wouldn't get arrested and Allison Mack wouldn't get arrested, but the timing was way off. And so it came out after they were arrested, and it looks very strange that the New York Times has these kind of like movie star pictures of Keith Raniere and saying how nice everyone was and how it really helps women. And I'm not saying that they can't say anything positive about it, but the whole tone was odd for what they're accused of doing, you know, and for all the stories. If you know the whole story of NXIVM, I don't even know the whole story, but I just know from the pieces I've read, it's frightening.
Yes. Yes, well, that FBI report was very frightening, all the details. And so, yeah, so how crowded? Was it a crowded courtroom? Were there reporters inside? Or
yes. This is the very interesting thing. I thought it would be a huge press blitz because when I came, I walked across. You have to walk across a little from the subway, a little park, and there was tons of cameras and tons of reporters and a few people just with their cell phone and stuff. I don't know who that, you know, maybe wanting to see Alice Mack or just other curious people like myself. And we're waiting outside the courtroom, so I thought, wow, there's going to be a lot of press on this tonight. There'll be a lot of footage of them walking in and out of the courtroom, and I'll get to catch up and a lot of interviews. And I saw Frank Perlato give an interview. I don't know where it landed, but I didn't see hardly any press about it when I came up. When I look up Keith Raniere bail, my video comes up and not much else, you know, as far as video. So a few articles. But
right.
It's curious.
Yeah,
like,
no, there's not much
cameras
out there.
Where did all the footage? Was that France? Was that international footage? I don't know.
Wow.
So.
So what else comes to mind? How else was it? Now, what was it like in general? Was it very dark and dreary in there, or was it? What was the general atmosphere?
Extremely glamorous. Yeah, it's a glamorous looking to me. A glamorous looking courtroom. It's not night court. It's not. And I'd really encourage people. I think it does take a little bit of courage to attend some of these. To go into a court. House and attend a trial that you might not be connected to, but it's really fascinating and you learn a lot. I would encourage people to do it. This courtroom is very glossy and clean and good-looking and big and well-lit, a lot of marble and, you know, in the courthouse. It's very well-kept and intimidating. So.
And you had to go through security, I'm sure, to get all that scan
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, a million times. Yeah, that part, I mean, I understand you have to check your cell phone, which was really interesting waiting for it to start. It started a little bit late. The whole courtroom was silent, and it was so wonderful because no one was looking on their cell phone. Everybody was just sort of present and with each other, and it was such a rare experience for me, you know, in this 2018.
Okay.
It's wonderful.
So they held
like,
on to your cell
great.
Phone.
You should check your cell
phone. They kept your cell
up.
Phone? They kept
yeah,
your
you
cell phone,
your
or you
cell
had to show
phone
them?
When you check
oh.
it.
Oh.
Like with your,
you check it in.
You
okay.
go through security, and then you have to give over your cell phone, and you get like a little bar, and then you hand over the little bar and get your cell phone
wow.
back when you leave.
Wow, they're tough. Okay.
Yeah, and I did have to go through. I mean, I think it was like my underwire to my bra rang, so I had to go through like a million times. So, yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it was not. The things I do to get the scoop, you know, but it's intimidating. It's intimidating, and you wonder, like, is this really for security? Is this to be purposely intimidating or to keep people out? But it was packed. It was full.
Now, were there any
like
family
everybody
members
who
there
wanted
at all?
To come could come in.
Would
what?
Did they have any family? Did either of them have any family members there at all?
I didn't see any, and that's the other interesting thing that came up about the bail was that, you know, bail is really about whether you're going to show up or not. And my understanding is that, you know, obviously you have the presumption of innocence, right? But there is some consideration in keeping the public safe. That is, I have to read a little bit more on what exactly the balance is. But my understanding is that the presumption of innocence is the most important thing in the bail hearing and that you're really protecting someone from fleeing. So the idea that he's giving $10 million from this trust, and at one point Keith Raniere's lawyer indicated that it was from the Bronfmans. So there's a sort of like they couldn't say Claire Bronfman's name, but everybody knew who it was, yet the judge was correcting one of the prosecutors from saying her and she using female pronouns, and yet everybody knew, yet Keith Raniere's lawyer said at one point that the Bronfman's money is pretty much bottomless. But that only went to the judge saying, yeah, so if he runs away with $10 million, it's not going to really hurt anyone but Claire Bronfman, not that badly. So there was no family to sign for him. You realize how lonely a cult leader's life or this cult leader's life is when there's no family to sign from you. There's just all this money. Because this is a 20-year-old cult. And there's so many people
right.
involved. And they're trying to arrest more people, but they need more information. And they need information from Alice and Max. So there was that point where they're asking about her plea deal, and they were hoping that she'd make this plea deal early so that they could use some of what she said in discovery in indicting more people. So it's just, I would think that Nancy Salzman and the Bronfmans were next.
Now, were the Bronfmans
I don't know.
There? Do you know?
No.
Were they there by any chance?
Not
no.
that I saw.
Okay, you,
I heard that
okay.
they are nowhere. I heard that they are hiding on some island near France. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I would be too if I were them.
yeah. Yeah, and it was also interesting that NXIVM stopped giving classes. So
yes.
I wonder if this is being done in private, if the NXIVM people are still meeting and practicing this craft privately and keeping it going, or if there's a sort of feeling that the party's over, like this is it, the guy's arrested. How, you know, L. Ron Hubbard has been dead forever, not forever, but ever, whatever, since the 80s, and Scientology goes on, and the So there are some cults that can continue without a cult leader.
He doesn't have a real philosophy. He doesn't have a real book or philosophy, does he? He's just sort of doing his own thing and making things up as he goes, it seems like.
Yeah. It's mostly based on Scientology. I mean, it's almost word-for-word Scientology with a little bit of the idea of some sashes thrown in, a little bit of, it sounds like, a little bit of a conspiratorial outlook thrown in with this idea of an interest in Luciferians and or what he calls sociopaths, Luciferians, and them, you know, whatever, destroying what is good for people. So there's all sorts of angles he's hit. It seems like he's really browsed YouTube and used the conspiratorial corner of YouTube. That's my impression of him. But in addition to, you know, his understanding of cults, and there is a great book that will blow people's mind by Paul Morantz called Escape. He was a lawyer who fought cults for years. He fought Scientology, but he famously fought Synanon, which was this rehab cult, and was bitten by a rattlesnake by their followers. And he talks about what makes a cult his life fighting cults, and how mostly, you know, Synanon was brought down by the IRS. I believe Scientology might be brought down by the IRS if they ever take away their tax-exempt status. So it's interesting. Seems like it's harder to shut down a cult than we think. And why that is would be interesting to
find
out.
So now we only got a few minutes left, but now did you see any of his followers? So he doesn't have any, like, followers outside cheering him on? Like, there were no, like, NXIVMs outside with signs or anything saying we love you, Keith, or anything? There was nothing like that going on?
No, definitely not. And I was looking around the room when he was denied, when it came to the judge denying him bail. Everyone was smiling. And I was
really
on the NXIVM side. I realized that also the reason no one wanted my seat, not just because it was the front row in front of Alice and Mack, because I was sitting on the NXIVM supporter side. So, but
you're
it
surrounded
didn't
by
look
the
like, it ceased to become that as it was almost, I came in when it was almost full, but you know what I'm saying? I'm looking around the room and a woman next to me, I'm thinking, are you a supporter? Who's a supporter here? So I tried to suss that out by just seeing who, it was mostly law students and non-supporters, critics. That's what
really?
I
so he
gathered.
He doesn't even have a following, you know. And they're all
they're not
going
to come to that. They're not coming to a courtroom. No way are those people involved in that going anywhere near the law, is my thought, feeling.
Yeah, that doesn't look good for him, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a very, he's not a very popular cult leader there. Doesn't have a family.
No, he's not popular. He doesn't even have a family. He's got nothing. Yeah,
wow.
He's just in the pedophile wing of prison or jail, you know.
Uh-huh.
So did I give you a good a sense of what it was like, or?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of any other questions. If anybody has any other questions, they can leave comments below. But, that's all I can. Is there anything else you want to add? Is there anything else you can think of that we didn't touch on?
No. I'll be following. If you have any thoughts, anything, come leave me a comment in my comment section at Roberta Glass, all one word, at YouTube. So.
Yes.
Or I'm also on Spreaker.
Yeah, okay, I think that wraps it up. So, so the next trial's going to start, or then the next trial is, what is it, July 26th, they're going to meet again in court?
Yep.
I believe.
The Wednesday,
so
it's either the 25th or the 26th, whatever that Wednesday is.
Okay, and I hope, are you going to be able to go, you think, or you don't know yet? I think you'll be able to attend.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we do. We can talk about
it. In my life, I will. Definitely, I will give you the scoop.
Yeah, sounds interesting. I'd love to hear more about it. And if, you talk to anyone there, like Catherine Oxenberg or anything, find out more what's going on. It seems like a lot's going on behind the scenes that we don't know about, you know, so.
Yeah, and it was interesting. There's three women there who represented the state, so they was quite cool to see three women go up against Keith Raniere, who was so awful to women and made such a life of exploiting them. So.
Wow. So, but
we'll
one last thing I want to ask. So Allison Mack, the entire trial, she really, her and her lawyer didn't really say much then. They just basically sat there throughout the trial, it sounds
no.
like. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Just a few sentences.
Yeah. Seems like
not
they're taking a slow approach. I guess they're going to see. They're trying to lay low and be quiet and see if this will blow over.
I won't be surprised if she doesn't take a deal. I really won't be surprised if she doesn't take the plea. And if her lawyer is being paid for by the Bronfmans. You have to remember her parents also took NXIVM courses. So their feelings, they could
Allison
be pro-NXIVM too still. Yeah.
Really, her parents? Really? Okay. How much do you have any idea how many years she's looking at? They didn't mention any of that in there, I guess.
I heard 30 to 40.
Really?
But it could
for
be
her?
Different.
For both of them?
Yes.
Or just...
Yes, for
wow.
her. For him, I hear it's like, forget it, life, going away, no chance of whatever.
Wow.
But
wow.
I heard 15 to 20 years, 30 to 40 years would probably be more appropriate. I mean, she's really, and they also told her to take the fall, and this was all her idea. Like the branding, when it's clear that the branding isn't her idea, that this is all really Keith Raniere's idea.
But she
doesn't
actually
matter
this,
so much
though, in
you know,
interviews. She actually said that in interviews. That was
yeah,
her idea.
Of course, because she's
yeah.
doing what they said, that she's being
oh,
ethical
oh,
and
right.
taking the fall. That's what she
I
said
see.
She would
yeah.
do. But the press just writes it with no skepticism and no understanding
right.
of how that was the plan. It's weird, very weird, that they don't go there. Like, they love to blame it on Allison Mack, everything. I that's a whole other subject, but yeah.
Well, the press doesn't cover these things well, or you know, they do just sort of take whatever story they're told by the you know public relations or by the defense, whatever the, you know, they don't really analyze it. And in a case like this, there's so much going on behind the scenes, you know, to know what's going on,
really
going
on.
Yeah.
This is a really complicated story, not you know, more so than the average story. It has so many different tentacles and so many different parts, so many different backstories. I keep a notebook, and I take notes all the time, and I still feel like I don't understand a fourth of it, you know?
Right,
and
right.
It takes a lot of time and attention to get the full story. And they love to
yeah.
do the quick, juicy, you know, exploitative
yeah,
story.
They just want to see what she wore to court. That's all they want to care about. You know? They don't
yeah,
care
but they
want to
make it some kind of sex. Yeah, like some sex.
Yeah,
some sexy,
that up, yeah.
sexy story. It's really
yeah.
a story of violence against women. And where are the women's groups? Should be up in arms, but they're nowhere.
Uh huh. Right.
Nowhere.
Right. Where are the feminists? Why aren't they out there protesting? Right.
Nowhere.
Yeah, true.
Nowhere. Nowhere.
This man is yeah, unbelievable. Well, all right. Well, I think we're out of time. So, Roberta, thank you so much for being on the podcast again. And anyone wants any more information,
yeah.
At robertaglass.com. It's not .com, but at Roberta Glass on YouTube. all one word. I can't talk today. I'm sorry.
You'll find me. Just look up next to Roberta Glass. You'll find me. All right. Nice talking to you.
Yes,
okay.
Nice talking to you. Take
bye.
Care. Have a good day. Bye.
Okay. Bye.